Well, a regular voice on the award-winning For the People for many of the 30-plus years that I've been doing this has been my epilepsy advocate and my epilepsy mentor. I'm talking about Robert Fiore, who is heading up the Connecticut Epilepsy Advocate Foundation. He's been a regular guest on our program to talk about all the good work that he and his team are doing. We'll be back to chat with him in just a minute. We want to remind you, however, that the Greater Bridgeport Symphony is finally concluding their search for their next music director, with Rachel Waddell taking the podium for Countdown 1 Waddell on Saturday, December 14th at the Klein Memorial Auditorium in Bridgeport. Maestro Waddell is going to present a family-friendly concert of storytelling, highlighting some of the greatest stories in music, including Peter and the Wolf, narrated by special guest Jamie Bernstein, the daughter of the late and great Leonard Bernstein. And GBS is proud to feature photos of Mexican wolves during the narration provided by Jack Bradley, who's a photographer at Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo. So a lot of Bridgeport and Fairfield-centric, Fairfield County-centric stuff going on December 14th with the Greater Bridgeport Symphony. We hope you'll pick up an individual ticket now, starting at way under $20. And you can learn more about the symphony and get Greater Bridgeport Symphony tickets at gbs.org. All right. Well, we are here in the final segment of the final program of November, which is Epilepsy Awareness Month. So it is only right that we bring the voice of Bob Fiore back onto the program and to talk about the Connecticut Epilepsy Advocate Foundation. So we had a few minutes before a few moments before we turned on the microphone, and Bob was telling me that while we have been referring to him all these years as the Connecticut Epilepsy Advocate, a big part of the work that he has always done has been functioning like a foundation. So why not add that tag to the brand and make it completely transparent, right, Bob?
Absolutely. And thank you for having us. You know how it is when it comes to titles and registering as a 501c3. It's almost a little bit of semantics, but us changing one sheet of paperwork and getting it put in, we are officially a foundation.
So let's start with what we've always talked about, and that is your epilepsy journey, because we occasionally remind each other, our first few years together were a little bit rough for you, and then you experienced some the benefits of some miraculous innovations in science and medicine, and it changed your life, basically, 25 or so years ago?
Not that long ago, but we had the surgery, the temporal lobectomy surgery on the left temporal lobe, and that was I was able to correct my epilepsy. There is no cure. But it wasn't long after that that we started to launch this organization. We're in our 15th year as of 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Very good. So how are you continuing to keep the target audience of individuals and families and others who are also on an epilepsy journey as part of the major focus?
Well, the big things that are coming up, the cost of prescription medication is ridiculous. We work on people with that. For the past 3 years, we've been helping veterans, and we have a bill proposal going in again for veterans' health care. And we have another bill proposal going in regarding the high cost of prescription medication. You know me long enough, we address a lot of things. I'm about as quiet as a bull in a china shop.
Mm-hmm. But you get it done, Bob, which is really what any grassroots citizen advocate could only hope to do. And you have done it by, you're under your own power, but you also have a very dedicated and passionate group of leaders behind you at the Connecticut Epilepsy Advocate Foundation. Let's hear a little bit about the team.
Sure. My board members are great, but the other part that helps us so much is our professional advisory board. And we have a good mix of people. It's not just I've always said, I've looked at organizations, no matter what they do, and their professional advisory board, a lot of them, let's say they have 20, and about 18 are probably passed away, but their names are up on the wall. Our professional advisory board composes of three doctors, two are neurologists. We have an attorney that addresses disability cases. We have a CPA who looks at different facets where people could be helped. Our pal Donna is with Universal Prescriptions, and our buddy Jim Lambert takes care of insurance. So it's a wide range of how people can be helped.
And for those who might be interested in lending their expertise or passion to the cause, what is the accessibility to involvement and volunteer opportunities with your organization?
Presently, the volunteer positions have cut back because ever since COVID started, a lot of people, they don't meet in person anymore. So what we've been doing is either a one-on-one in person or we'll set up a Zoom meeting.
I see. Very good. So let's start with one of the three items that we wanted to try to briefly cover this morning in helping people better understand what your experiences have been and those of the people who you've talked with over these many years about prescriptions that are specifically targeted to epilepsy and the costs that may be preventing people from accessing what they need.
Yeah. Whether it's epilepsy prescription or not, what the government representatives do not understand, that there's lobbyists there. And we look at it this way in our bill proposal. When a prescription comes on the market, it's supposed to be a tier three. We feel that once a generic's on the market or a prescription's on the market 5 years or more, that tier level has to be dropped down. And it should be a standard format of that. I mean, there's two medications I take. They've been on the market since the 90s, and they have dozens of generics. They really should be a tier one. You shouldn't be paying a ridiculous price. If I didn't have insurance and I walked into a pharmacy today, my two brand prescriptions start at $1,100 a month and usually stop at $1,700 a month. That's not fair to the public, epilepsy or not.
And that correlates to what your latest numbers are in terms of right here in Connecticut, how many people are directly touched by epilepsy who need these prescriptions. We're talking thousands and thousands of people here.
Yeah. The other issue that we brought up both on a state and federal level, if they put a cap on the fillers of the generic medications, more people would be able to use them. There's a young lady we've been helping for quite a few years. She and the mom contacted me, and she explained, something is going on with me. Things aren't going right, and her epilepsy is really under control. So we're on the phone for over 10 minutes. And out of nowhere, I said, have you changed medications? And she goes, ooh. Says, get the bottles. So she got the first bottle. I says, what's the manufacturer on there? So she read it. I says, now get the bottle that you've been taking with no problem. She goes, oh my God, it's a different manufacturer. I says, there's the problem. So she told the pharmacist and the doctor, you have to put brand, prescribed by, and then the manufacturer's name. I says, get back to me in a week or two. Well, about 7 or 10 days later, she's back to normal. Everything was good. But by having the wrong filler in there, it throws your system off.
So literally, if we were describing something like even a fairly simple recipe, you know, the difference between 2 tablespoons of salt and 2 tablespoons of pepper, it might make all the difference in the world when it comes to the complex chemistry of this type of medication.
Absolutely. But the big difference is that these percentage changes are drastic. And again, we've said in the bill proposals, you need 100% of the brand in there, and then you put the fillers in. Look at it this way. When you buy gas, there's ethanol, and the cap is 5%. If you can keep the percentage of filler on any medication at a set number, that would work out great for a lot of people. Not everyone, but for a lot of people.
So who's championing this upcoming initiative in the 2025 legislative General Assembly session?
I'd have to find the particular members. We have a state rep and a state senator that's going to be working with us. But, you know, the election just finished a few weeks ago, so sure, everything's settling down in everybody's office.
Right, right.
Like every year, we have our bill proposal already drawn up. I just have to do a couple of spell checks and things like that. But it's ready to be sent in, and then hopefully they'll bring it up. The biggest issue, we keep telling people that this is a bipartisan thing, and both parties should address it in unison, not sure, just it's my party, your part. No, you're helping the public. So introduce it on a public level and be totally bipartisan.
Very good. Finally, it's not only Epilepsy Awareness Month as we close out November, but it was also the month when we celebrated our cherished veterans on Veterans Day earlier in the month. Veterans are also near and dear to you, or Bob Fiore, and to the Connecticut Epilepsy Advocate Foundation. Let's spend the last 3 or 4 minutes we have together talking about what you're doing for our veterans.
Yes. What we put together in the bill proposal, we look at it this way. Here in Connecticut, you have New Haven and Newington are the two main places a veteran can go to. Well, that's not enough. So what our bill proposal says, you take the 8 counties and you choose a minimum of 15 locations. You make all the hospitals work in unison, Yale, Hartford Healthcare, New Vance Health, and Trinity Health of New England. And once they're under one program, a veteran could be in Stamford on Monday, New London on Tuesday, Windsor Locks on Wednesday, Danbury on Thursday, Pomfret on Friday. And once they walk in, they'll still say, you still Bob Fiore, you still live at this address. Has any medication changed? No. And then you're in there. These veterans put their lives on the line to protect the company, the country. Show them respect and give them all these options for health care. If this bill goes through in Connecticut, then state by state could address the same thing.
Is there any type of challenge that you're anticipating due to the kind of bifurcated authority here between what the state and the state veterans and maybe state veterans agencies and organizations want versus what the federal VA is dealing with?
Yeah, the biggest thing, and I'm just addressing Connecticut, is that Yale dominates the VA. No one else is involved, and I don't think that's fair. So once there's enough power there to make that change, and again, we'll set a precedent here in Connecticut, and then each state will follow our guidelines. I mean, you can't compare Connecticut to Florida. It's how many times bigger, more counties, et cetera. But we feel if we set a precedent here, then the rest can follow.
Very good. Anything else on the veterans front that you want to articulate or share in terms of ways to get those who are believing in your cause to also lend their voice or energy to the effort?
Absolutely. Whether it's veteran or not, we feel that anyone that gets involved with the bill proposal, we always post on social media, you have X number of days to submit your testimony. And your testimony doesn't have to be War and Peace. You can make it simple. My name is so-and-so. I live at this address, and we are for, and you give the bill number. It's that simple. The more people get involved, the better.
Very good. We got about one more minute for you, Robert. What else are you looking forward to? Any new ideas on the horizon for 2025 and beyond?
No, we figure the cost of prescription medication being too high and helping our veterans, that's enough to focus on for the time being. The only other thing we're going to bring up, if the public is generous enough, they'd like to make a donation, we truly appreciate it. And you know the website is simple, ct-ea.org. Mm. Again, that's ct-ea.org.
And you've also been a champion when it comes to not only being a blood donor, but hosting blood drives, is that something that is sort of eclipsed in the EA world, or is that something that may continue in the future?
Well, it's a personal thing for me because not many people with epilepsy can donate. So I figure by us addressing that and making the public more aware of that, that's something that we do to be involved with the community. And we have 6 blood drives a year.
Excellent. Very good. Once again, folks, if you'd like to learn more and maybe get involved in the advocacy yourself, you can go to ct-ea.org for the Connecticut Epilepsy Advocate Foundation, the brainchild and passion of my longtime friend and partner and really epilepsy mentor, Robert. I can't stress that more. Robert Fiore with us this morning. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you again.